Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
The New York Mets have acquired Mike Piazza from the Florida Marlins.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata back on The Fan on this Monday. Let's get back to some of the phones here, BT. We've been talking a lot about the Knicks throughout the course of the day. Anything you missed, by the way, check it out on the free Odyssey app. We've been talking some Doc Gooden and the Mets. We did some Yankees as well. Let's hear from the fans. Andrew is calling from North Salem. What's up, Andrew?
Hey, guys. Great show as usual. I appreciate you taking my call.
Thanks for making it, Andrew. What's up?
Okay, so all Knicks. I think the idea of getting the 3 seed being like more beneficial than the 2 seed, it's not really way like Thibodeau and the Knicks are wired. And I'm really happy that they did get the 2 seed. If they have to run into the Bucks at some point down the line, you know, I want to be at MSG for Game 6 or Game 7, you know, as opposed to being out in Milwaukee. And, you know, just winning as many games possible down the stretch and being that 2 seed with 50 wins, it just gives me more of a sense that the Knicks are a true powerhouse. And if we do got to run into Giannis at some point, we're going to be the favorites.
You know, I think that's an excellent point, Andrew, and thank you for the call. BT, we didn't even talk about that. Everybody's caught up in the matchup. And look, you shouldn't really be looking ahead. It's one thing at a time, and obviously it could be a difficult first-round matchup with either the Heat or the Sixers. That's why I don't lose just to, you know, tank games just in the hopes that you might get a more favorable matchup. Bull crap. You win as many games you possibly can, and you get the highest seed, and the chips fall where they may. Unfortunately for the Knicks, it didn't benefit them, or at least it doesn't look like that, with potentially getting the Sixers in that first round. But if they do win that series, you want home court the next round. You want home court as much as you can.
Yep.
That's the ultimate reward of being the 2 seed.
There's no question, and I think it's uplifting. I think most Knicks fans feel this way. Forget about home court for a sec. Of course, it matters, especially at the Garden. But, like, this team, to me, is built to win anywhere. I don't feel this. There are some teams that have a false elevation, and it's more evident at home. I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm about to be in for a rude awakening, but, like, even if the Knicks drop the first game at the Garden, I fully expect them to go back on the road and, you know, after the second game, and win a game that they're, quote, not supposed to win. Like, I have no doubts about that.
Right, but you want the end games in the series. You want to have
sure.
home court advantage. I mean, it's just as simple as that.
But I don't think they need it.
Right.
I want it, but I don't think they need it. They're not dependent on it. Like, someday, I don't know, I want to see, and maybe this is a real reach, I'm not saying I watch them all the time, but maybe like a young Oklahoma City team, maybe they need home court a little bit more than the Knicks. Maybe some other teams do. Maybe the Cavs do. I don't know. I look for transferable talents. And, you know, what the Knicks do is going to transfer from the Garden to whether it's Miami, I believe, to Philly, to Milwaukee, whatever. Let's go.
BT and Sal on the Fan. Frank is in New Haven, Connecticut. What's up, Frank?
Hey, what's going on?
How are you, Frank?
Hey, Frank.
Good. What I want to talk about, what do we as Yankee fans have to do to keep Soto in our organization? I don't understand how.
Pay him. It's not the Yankees. Simple. Yankee fans have done all they can. Now it's going to be on the Yankees to pay him.
So he's on a 1 year, $41 million, right?
30. I think it's $31 million. I think not 40. I think it's 31.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So realistically, I would say he's probably a top hitter in the game, in the league, one of at least. What kind of, I mean, you know, his Boris there, that agent, that guy is just, imagine having to deal with that guy.
No, he's also been fired, Scott Boras, the past couple of days, and he woefully underachieved for his clients, so let's not prop him up too much. Scott Boras is not exactly in a position of power right now. Now, with Soto he is, but his reputation's been stained a little bit, but keep going.
No, well, I mean, I think that was his point. I hung up. I was to move on. No, it's okay. Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, the Yankee fans have done all that they can. I can't imagine a better relationship, especially when you talk about to start out, than the one that the Yankee fans have had with Juan Soto and vice versa. I mean, it's a love affair, and it's great. He looks great in pinstripes. He's obviously been great in that lineup. The Soto effect is real. The only question remains is, who are going to be the big suitors, and are the Yankees going to extend to the point of potentially the biggest suitor? I mean, that's it.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, I mean, you really did narrow it down. There's three things, and, you know, the atmosphere is taking care of itself. The Bronx just feels like it's supposed to. They got to win, and so far they look terrific, and they got to pay them, and I believe that they will. Now, what's the competition? I don't know. I know Cohen's going to be involved, and I would imagine a few others jump in. But if he is just connected to that right field, to the bleacher creatures, and that place is popping the way it has, and they crank out, you know, 95, 98.
The Yankees
whatever,
are going to have to pay him,
that's
though.
It. There's I know.
There's no way around it. Like, the Yankees are going to have to pony up.
This I'm is not saying a, that. Right, I know.
No, I know. But I don't think there's a situation. Now, again, if all things are equal or close to it, is he going to choose the Yankees? It certainly seems like that would be the case now. But I don't think there's going to be a spot where the Yankees are going to get a discount the way that they did, even with Aaron Judge.
I agree with you. I know I agree with that.
So I guess the question is, it starts with a five. And I would assume the Yankees are going to be willing to go there. Then the question is just, does anybody else, Cohen, whoever, get ridiculous? And I ultimately think Soto wants to be in New York. So I really think it's only down to the Mets and Yankees. And if Cohen's going to be ridiculous, and he might have to be, he's probably going to have to be if he wants to try to get Soto. Maybe there's nothing he can do, but maybe he does get ridiculous. Are the Yankees going to come up to where they make it, you know, comparable? I don't know, but that's the only question marks.
Yeah, I think that's fair, Sal. I mean, if the Yankees think they're cutting a corner because Juan Soto's having a good time at right field, they're nuts. There is Juan Soto, and when it's time to do business, he's going to be do business cutthroat, which he should. I think, to me, what's probably more interesting and even more applicable is how above and beyond the Mets have to go.
Right.
Now, you and I seem to fundamentally disagree a little bit on the depths of what the Yankees will do, and we'll eventually find out. What's the Mets tax going to be? I don't know. I mean, is it $100 million more? Is it $100 million more? It might be.
It might be.
Yeah, it might be. And then that trickles into, I think, Pete Alonso. I mean, not that Cohen can't afford it, but would he have the appetite of, say, if the Yankees offer five, which I think is, you know, everybody says six. Juan Soto's getting $6 million from one person. That might be Cohen. Yankees don't need to go to six, I don't think, and I don't think that they will. Now,
let's say, though, that the Mets are at six and the Yankees are at five.
Well, they're going to have to be more than five. They're going to have to, I think they're going to have to narrow that a little bit.
Right.
There.
Okay. So Yankees are going to have to come up to 550, let's say.
Yeah, 550, 530, somewhere in the neighborhood. Like, they're going to have to.
And then you think, A, the Yankees will do that, and yes. B, that he's going to take that much less?
I'm more convicted in the first answer. Like, right. I do think the Yankees will do that. I don't really know what's in his heart.
Right.
I don't know. But I know what he looks like. He looks like he's having a blast.
But to answer the caller, if push comes to shove, and let's just use those numbers as a parameter here. Let's say the Mets offer 600. Mm-hmm. The Yankees have to get close to that. Like, I don't want to hear, oh, yeah, but. There is no yeah, but. It's got to be, okay, well, we'll come up, like, what's going to get it done? Well, 560, 570, 550, 580, whatever it is.
Yep.
They can't, like, if Soto's demanding it, the Yankees need to do it, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's.
Well, I guess. Yeah. The other question then would be, well, to you as somebody who wants him here, obviously as a Yankee, what would you accept? How are you? You're not going to get on Soto, but you're going to get on the Yankees. If the Mets say $600 million and the Yankees say $550 million, you're going to get on the Yankees or Soto for not closing the gap?
Well, I'm going to get on the Yankees, right? Because for $50 million, it's impossible to not justify giving them $50 million over 10 years. Of course, the answer is the Yankees. But this is why I think, and I remember saying this during the winter with you, and I don't think you fully agreed. Like, the optics of the Mets season matters to me.
No, I didn't. And you, so far, you're exactly right. You and anybody else who thought, and maybe the Yankees themselves thought, by trading for Soto and bringing him in here, like giving him a taste of the Bronx. Now, it was one concern that I had, but I didn't think it would be to this level. And I never thought that the regular season would matter when it comes to Soto. Yep. I think that anybody who still thinks that is a total fool. I felt differently after watching one series of Soto with the Yankees.
Yeah, and I, to be fair, and I don't know that anybody really does, I know what Met fans are hoping for, but nobody really knows who the Mets are yet. Are they the resilient, scrappy, buttoned-up bunch the last couple of series where they've taken 2 out of 3 from good teams? Or are they, you know, the slop that they rolled out to start the season? Now, I don't think that they're the slop. But I also, I'm not fully convinced that they're going to, you know, rip off series wins and, you know, be 85, 88 wins and be in the mix for wild card. And if they're, and they, I'm not saying they can't be, but if they're not and they're, you know, 70-something wins, which I think they'll still be, mid-ish high 70s, what is appealing about that to Juan Soto outside of $100 million? And the answer is probably not much, which is why the onus would be back on the Yankees to narrow the gap and make him basically say, listen, do you want $50 million more in Queens with what you just saw from a 78-win team? Or do you want what we're offering and be a stud, you know, with the great Dominican population and the vibe and Judge behind? I don't know what's in his heart. Pragmatically, I think I know what should resonate with him, but nobody knows what he's thinking, except he looks like he's having a blast and he's playing great.
I will say the Mets cannot bottom out. I don't think they need to make the playoffs, but it can't be the bottom out that we saw the first, you know, 5-6 games.
That's what I'm saying.
Of the season. Because the Yankees are having the ultimate high right now, and the Mets at that point were the ultimate low. Mm-hmm. There's no way, you know, even at that point you start to question the money. Would it even matter? Now, I do think the money's going to matter, and the fact that the Mets have leveled out a little bit, as long as they hover around 500, I don't think that their season would have a negative impact on Soto.
Do you think
But I do think the Yankees' positive season could have more of an impact.
I probably agree with that. Do you think, because when you think about some of the other, I know the contracts have changed, but he seems to be, you know, contract proof, like whatever he wants, he's getting within the realm of somewhat responsible thinking. Are we talking 12 years? Like, give me, forget about the total money.
I honestly think minimum 13. Because remember, we've seen that with, right, what did Bryce Harper get?
And, I think it was Machado, 13. Right. I think it was 13 for
so
Bryce.
I think he's going to be looking to break every record possible.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Now, he might not get the, you know, Ohtani 800, but he's going to be looking to break the AAV and the length.
Yes. And, you know, this is a little bit of a different thought here. One thing, and I'm not saying you do it tonight because he's flourishing, something the Yankees should really think about is buying out some of those years from Volpe. If you think that this is Volpe, why would you not?
Yeah, but again, that's a conversation.
I know. But it's also,
now how many people are you going to pay? You're going to try to pay Soto, you got Judge.
Well,
you got Garrett Cole, you're still paying. Stanton's contract's still there.
And don't forget, by the way, Garrett Cole's going to opt if he comes back and he's somewhat healthy, he's going to opt out. The Yanks are going to have to tack on another year more money, so that's more. But that's why Jason Dominguez, Spencer Jones, and Volpe, and Wells, if he can start hitting here. But I'm going to forget about Wells, for he hasn't done anything yet. Jones, Volpe, no water, and Dominguez are paramount to their ability and their stomach to pay for Soto. You locked into Judge. Last couple of years are going to stink. We all know that. It is what it is. But if Dominguez is the real deal, and Spencer Jones could maybe play first base, I mean, you got to look at spots around the diamond where you're playing. You have a couple
or
of guys.
Or Judge at first, and then
I guess.
Well, they got to do something. Yes. One of those guys is going to be playing first base.
You got to, yes. You can't have Judge making almost, whatever, 400, and Soto making 550 or 6, and Cole making what he's making, and you know, Torres making 180, and this guy. I mean, you're not going to go out and find the high-priced free agent first baseman. You're gonna have to fill the other holes with guys who aren't making money. And really, That's why I think the Yanks are set up so well for now and tomorrow. I think Dominguez is the real deal. I want to see more from Jones, but, you know, I love him. If you can put those guys in for the next, you know, 3, 4, 5 years making, smallish money, it changes their ability to do whatever they want with Soto.
Ray is calling from Middletown. What's up, Ray?
How you doing, gentlemen? I just wanted to go back to your conversation about Doc Gooden and the number retirement ceremony yesterday. I am a 30-plus year recovering alcoholic and an addict, and I have to just share with you the impact that that ceremony had on someone like myself, who has also been involved in television sports for 40-plus years. And I can remember working on the ABC sports crew in the 80s, Al Michaels, Keith Jackson, Reggie Jackson, Jim Palmer, all those characters. Mm-hmm. And covering Doc every time he went out there on the mound. And it was always an exciting event. And as a hometown Mets fan, it was really spectacular for me to be a part of those broadcasts. But what I got from Doc yesterday was a person who had overcome each day at a time, or one day at a time, their demons. And I think we put an undue amount of pressure on our celebrities and sports athletes that are recovering alcoholics and addicts. Our expectations for them are so much higher than any normal person who is a carpenter or an electrician or a policeman or a fireman. You know, we want them to be larger than life, and we want them to be able to nip these things in the bud right away. We're all human beings, and we all deal with diseases like this in our own individual way.
Amen. Amen, man. The only thing that I would say to that...
Thank you, Ray, for the call.
Yeah, and congrats to you for being sober and getting your life under control. That's awesome, man. And listen, I've had it in my family. I think everybody, there's nobody that doesn't know somebody that is in their family that has dealt with stuff like that. If you say no, you're either very lucky or you're lying. But the difference is that, you know, we don't dissect regularly on the air firemen and teachers and policemen. The reason why it becomes not so much an expectation, but a talking point, is because we talk about them when they're sober too. Like, that's the way it goes. You know what I mean? So
I did think, though, it was special. No, I do know what you mean, but it was, you could feel it from Doc that's what it was about. Where a lot of times, not a lot of times, maybe 95% of the times, maybe higher, it's about the person's performance on the field. Yeah. In this particular case, obviously it has to do with the performance on the field, but Doc himself, for him, it was more of a culmination of him battling through this and surviving and getting this honor, which he dreamed of and wanted to be a lifelong Met and have that number retired and be appreciated and honored by this Mets franchise, but doing it at a time where he's healthy physically and mentally and sober. I mean, that's what that was about to me yesterday.
I think that's really well said. And I know how much you love Doc, and you've had a chance to get to know him a little bit last couple of years with SNY, which is awesome. And, you know, I've said a few times, Doc is probably the most, you know, probably the most universally beloved New York figure in my lifetime. Because you always have the different divisions with the fan bases, but the fact that, you know, Doc transcended everything. And,
you know, by the way, BT, he's on with the morning show right a while back. And then he goes on with Evan and Tiki last week.
Yeah.
Hey, Doc, what are you doing here? Well, I thought we were friends.
Well, did you reach out to him and say, come on with BT and Sal?
No, I didn't, because I figured once he was on with the morning show, you know. Then he's like, anyway, hey, dude, Hoff is telling me, what's that, Hoff? You went on with Beningo?
He went with Beningo on Saturday morning.
Hey, what's he doing every show, butt hours?
I mean, that's your guy. I mean, I love Doc, but, you know, listen, here's what whether it's A-Rod or Jeter or Darryl or Patrick or Messier, I'm not going back to Clyde and name it, our lifetime. When Dwight Gooden performed, the sporting world stopped, unlike anybody in my lifetime. I love him. Now you've been around Doc recently, and I bumped into him the other day when he was on the morning show. Right. But I was actually around Doc and more Darryl when I was at SNY regularly for 8-9 years back in the day. And I've said this, and I'm going to say it again. I was always worried about Doc more than I was worried about Daryl. Every time I bumped into Doc, he just seemed jumpy. He seemed uncomfortable in his own skin. Less so when I saw him the other day, which was awesome. He was with Jay Horowitz. Whereas with Daryl, and you know, this goes back to, I think, maybe a little bit more of a stable, I don't want to say stable marriage. I'm certainly not saying that. But Tracy, who's really, you know, led Daryl to faith and religion, and that's great. And it's not for everybody, but it's amazing. And I feel like Daryl has been more comfortable and more rooted in the new Daryl than maybe Doc has as the new Doc. But I feel like this is... he's crossed the threshold.
Agreed.
You know, and I love that.
And I
love him.
You're right, BT, and we'll take a break and come back and finish up with you. Oh, not finish up, continue with more of your calls here. I will say, you know, growing up a fan of his and then watching him do certain media things, whether it is years ago at SNY or on The Fan or whatever, and then having the honor of being able to work with him at SNY recently and getting to know him a little bit, I thought he was at his best yesterday. Yeah. I thought he was just free and easy, comfortable, confident. Now, maybe that comes with the honor. He's glad he got to do that. Maybe there's an inner peace there. Yeah. But I saw a confident, comfortable, at peace Dwight Gooden yesterday, maybe more so than I've ever seen before.
So did I. But I do think the one thing that because we've never been to that level in terms of the public spotlight. I said to Sal in the first hour, it was amazing, and I don't need to reset everything. If you missed anything, free Odyssey app, by the way, just hit rewind, check it out any hour you want. I wish it was longer because I wanted to hear him continue to pour his heart out. But I do think that we take it for granted, like from our perspective. Now, we're in the business, so we're used to a lot of stuff. But just we're no different from the fans out there because we can't relate to the magnitude of being dissected, even though we get dissected more than the average person based on our public job. But I think it's easy to say, come on, Doc, everybody loves you, man. You know, just, you know, feel the love and all these years where he's tried to get it back and stabilize his life. But I think to communicate that yesterday as clearly and as in a raw manner that he did, I think it's harder than we think because not even deep down, because he said this is central to Dwight's plight. He feels like he let everyone down. And it's one thing to get in front of that microphone and communicate what you want to communicate from your heart. But there's your version, but then there's also incorporating the people that you think that you hurt. And that's a burden that very few of us can relate to. We can't. And I think that that's very hard to communicate.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
The New York Rangers have won the Stanley Cup.
The New York York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app. Call of the Day with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
Today's Call of the Day is brought to you by Ramsey Mazda. Choose wisely. Choose Ramsey Mazda.
So you got Embiid. You got Brunson. You've got Maxey. And I would put Maxey third myself without any hesitation. I'd put OG four. What are you doing 5, 6, and 7?
I don't think it matters.
No, but
Who cares?
I do because when you get to depth, I think it does matter.
The Sixers have plenty of players.
Watch out for DiVincenzo.
So do the Knicks. So hold on a second. If they have plenty of players, who's the next best one?
But that,
who is it?
It doesn't matter.
Who cares? But it matters to me.
What are you trying to prove by
that you're wrong?
Who the fifth? No. It is one team versus another team. Whether the Knicks have the fifth best player in the series or the sixth best player in the series does not matter. It doesn't matter. Just like, look, one guy who you're going to throw in my face is Mitchell Robinson, who will be a liability
in the playoffs. I'm not a massive believer. I actually think that Hartenstein's better. I don't know if he's better in this particular matchup because of Embiid's size.
But if Mitch is on the floor, to Spike's point, they're going to foul him. If he's on there trying to stop Embiid late in the game, they're going to foul Mitch. It's a liability.
See, you'll say something like, well, DiVincenzo, and all I'll say back to you is, the way that Nick Batum plays, the way that Kyle Lowry plays, is important for the Sixers
100%.
Around Joel Embiid. So
100%.
So it doesn't matter to me who the fifth.
You think Embiid's 100%? Right.
So you don't like my exercise.
No. He's not 100% healthy.
No, but I don't think anybody on the Knicks is either.
Well,
you know,
Jalen.
Okay,
because he's had his hand taped for 2 years.
No, have you watched a lot of Nick games this year?
Not one
right?
second.
Okay, so I've watched.
You're hired. Yeah, all right. There you have it, Spike Eskett.
Go and host in Philly already. Enough jumping on the shows here. My God, with this Philly propaganda. Stop.
Former boss.
Talks like he's got Dr. J and Charles Barkley playing this series. Just get by the Heat.
We started the
show. A little presumptuous.
We started the show talking about the Knicks and the two seed. I just hate that matchup. Potential matchup. By the way, Wednesday's going to be fun, BT, with the Sixers and Heat going at it. See who, in fact, will be playing the Knicks in the first round of the playoffs. I cannot wait to watch these games with you, dive into it and talk about it and discuss it. I just hate the idea. There was one team all year long, one team that I did not want to see in the first round, and that would be the Sixers. Now, it's not official yet, but that would be the team. I do not want the Sixers.
In part
because of Spike and his Philly nonsense.
Yeah, but that's why I do want him. That'll be fun. I hear you. It's not the easiest 2-7 matchup if Philly moves on, or if it's Miami. It's an unconventional 2-7 matchup, but the one thing that I think is important, like the Knicks, when they lost Randall and then ultimately OG, I don't know, OB, I mean, they could have been a 7 seed and playing the Sixers anyway.
Right.
So,
yeah, I mean,
dude.
As a 2 seed, you'd rather be rewarded with that. And I just think the Sixers, it's not the Knicks. This is not anti-Knicks or the Knicks are less than. It's that the Sixers with Embiid are one of the best teams in the league. And now you get them right out of the gate. I mean, look, you know what? If you win, maybe it gives you confidence to move forward. And then they could beat anybody. I don't know. But the Sixers with a healthy Embiid and Maxey, they're as dangerous as anybody in the NBA.
Listen, the truth of the matter is, you know, the Sixers' final record is probably not emblematic of who they really were or could have been if healthier. I'm going to give you that. But same with the Knicks. I mean, forget about Randall. If they didn't lose Anunoby all those games, Knicks probably have 5 or 6 more wins.
Yeah.
So,
well, we'll see.
I get it. It's a little unconventional, but I just can't wait to watch this team play. If they lose, it's not going to be because they wilt it's just going to be because they, you know, maybe
they got beat by a better team.
Maybe. I mean, that's possible. So I understand what you're saying. Like, 2-7, give me a team that won 39 games, 43 games.
I get it. I think they're better than Miami. Now, would that be a dream first round matchup?
No.
No, but I still think they're better than Miami.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how about Orlando? How about Indiana? Even Cleveland, who I know is good the majority of the year. Think about what Boston is going to have. Boston is going to have, well, I mean, I guess the play-in loser against the Bulls, right? The Bulls or Hawks, whoever works themselves out.
Yes.
Then they're going to have the winner of Cavs and Magic. I mean, that's in the second round. Boston's going to have a significantly easier path.
But here's one thing I don't understand, because it seems like it's two different things. So, understandably, Sal is aware of the pitfalls of a potential Embiid matchup. Got it. Well, then why wouldn't you say that the Knicks should have lost yesterday?
No, I just don't believe in that.
Okay, but if you believe, I understand. Me neither. Because you try to manipulate things too much,
yeah,
you come back,
screwed.
You get burned.
Yeah, exactly.
Understood.
Right.
All right, so then, but then why all the energy about a potential matchup with Philly? Because the Knicks could have controlled that. So, but it seems inconsistent. Like, if you were saying, yeah, I'm worried about Philly,
because
they should have lost yesterday.
You don't know where it's going to fall. I mean, what happens if the Sixers lose or somebody else wins and messes up the bottom of that standings? Like, you can't lose to plan for that. It's just unfortunate. And by the way, we still could. Best case scenario to me, Miami wins Wednesday night, Knicks-Miami, lock it in first round, and then it's Sixers-Celtics in the first round. That is what I would
want. I agree with that. I do agree with that, because you would think that the Celtics would have a long series. You think? Let me ask you, you think the Knicks could beat Boston? Can they beat them in a 7-game series?
I do. And do I think they would is different than I think they could. I do think they could.
So is there any team in the NBA that the Knicks cannot beat in a 7-game series?
No, I'm not putting ceiling on them anymore. I'm not
agree.
Putting... But I also, that doesn't mean that I'd be thrilled about them taking on the Sixers in a first-round matchup, where arguably the Sixers are the second-best team in the conference. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to face them right out of the gate. So let's just root for here's what I'm going to do. I'm rooting for Miami to win, then for the Knicks to squash Miami, and I think they would beat Miami. And then the Sixers and the Celtics can eliminate each other in that first round. Then maybe the Knicks have an easy path. Hey, sometimes to get to, an NBA Finals, you need to be a little lucky, and maybe the matchups could break the Knicks' way. And give them a little bit of luck. It would not be favorable if they did get the Sixers, though, in that first round. BT and Sal on the Fan. Joe is calling from North Bergen, New Jersey. What's up, Joe?
Hi. Related to Soto taking a lot of walks, I read the book years ago, The Science of Hitting, by probably...
It's about Ted Williams.
Ted Williams.
I read it, too.
Right. And he was way ahead of his time with analytics, but the Boston rioters, as you probably know, killed him for taking a lot of walks. DiMaggio did not take as many walks. He swung more often. And I don't know what the answer is, but, he was some hitter.
Now, Here's the answer. Here's the answer. Get a great pitch you can square up. If you don't get it, take the walk. That's the answer.
Yeah,
that's the answer.
No, it's not.
There's no other answer.
Not every bad. Yeah, there is.
No, any other answer is dumb.
No,
because
it's not.
Now it is, though.
No, it's not. Some of the greatest hitters in the history of the sport swung the bat. It's not dumb just because you think it's dumb.
No.
I think is dumb. Taking walks with guys on when you're supposed to be a run producer. That, to me, is dumb.
It's insane that you think this. It really is.
Why?
I don't understand how you're missing this. Because, number one, you're not surprised who won, so you knew who he was.
I'm not surprised at all. By the way, this is just my belief. It's not about Juan Soto. If John Harper, my colleague at SNY, told me before Soto was even a thought of the Yankees, said you will flip out, because he knows how I feel about walks.
Mm-hmm.
Every walk. A walk is not as good as a hit, especially when you have a guy that is supposed to do damage. It's not all the same,
because number one, taking a walk with so-and-so behind you is one thing. Taking a walk with Judge, I know it didn't work out against the Marlins.
Right.
I get that. Taking a walk with Judge behind you is a death sentence if you keep doing it. Let me ask you this. So
that's fair, and that's why I think he's a better fit for the Yankees than he would be for the Mets.
Well, let me ask you this. Let's forget about Judge with Soto with the Mets. Take Pete. So let's say September. Remember, okay, so the game that got rained out, they got pushed back September 26th, I think it is, down in Atlanta, 25th, 26th, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say that game really means something. And Pete Alonso, they're down two runs with the bases juiced, and he swings at a pitch out of the zone and pops up, and the Mets lose. Are you saying, hey, at least my guy swung the bat? Or are you saying, dude, what are you doing?
I'm saying that in that particular spot that we watched Juan Soto in the other night, he needed to be a little bit more aggressive. And I would, even if he popped out, I'd be like, oh, you know what? He swung the bat trying to get a hit. I think there are certain spots where if you are a great hitter, you should be more aggressive. And I know that that's not Soto's game, but that's what's going to drive me nuts. And I also then would not be of the belief of paying him $600 million. Are you paying him to be the guy? Or as he said in his own words, his job is to get on for Judge. Well, if that's the case, then I got to reassess things, because I'm not paying somebody $600 million or $500 million to get on so the guy behind him can drive him in. I want that guy to be the guy to drive runs in.
Let me ask you a question. Do you think that it's possible that Juan Soto is just saying that to show a little deference toward Aaron Judge? Do you really think that Juan Soto, and he's not going to say this, do you think that Juan Soto would really rather You go get him, Judge, rather than two on, two out, high leverage, down a run or two, whatever, then have the bat in his hands.
He said it, and I saw it.
No, I know he said it.
And I saw it the other night.
Well, I know that
Soto was pumped up beyond belief.
Okay, but
for that walk.
You're reacting to the celebration, and you're placing less emphasis on the four pitches that were nowhere near the strike zone that he
had
telling us that he should have swung at.
He had pitches to hit, even if it's a pitch. Now, again, that's one at bat. I'm not dismissing or diminishing what Juan Soto is as a player. I understand what he is. However, in certain spots, I personally would like to see a little bit more. So to answer your question about Alonso, yeah, I would respect the aggression there because if he doesn't get it done, then who? Now, the Yankees are set up differently with Soto to Judge. Although, again, in that particular spot, a walk was not as good as a hit. It wasn't. And it proved to be factually correct. I would have walked Aaron Judge, which also proves a walk is not as good as a hit. Is it better than an out? Yeah, I mean, I guess. But if it's the guys in the lineup, you work your way around. Like, so what makes Soto and Judge so great is not their ability to walk. It's not.
Well, nobody's saying that.
Well,
you know what?
Well,
what makes
I think
them,
some people are.
Well, I can't speak for them. What I'm saying is, what makes them so unique is that to get through the at bats for Juan Soto and Judge, you are. I mean, pretty much everybody's max exertion with the fastball, but I don't mean fat. Like, you are diving as deeply into the competitive process as humanly possible to navigate those two guys. And over the course of 162, over the course of a 7-game playoff series where bullpens matter and pitch counts really, really even more important than now, and third time through the order, I'll take my chances with it. Now, it doesn't mean the Yankees are going to absolutely win the World Series, but for me, there's no way. There's no chance in hell that I'm changing my baseball philosophy. I don't care if you're 7 or if you're 30 and the middle of your prime.
But two-way.
Get a pitch that you can square up. If you don't get it, don't swing.
How did Vladimir Guerrero do with the get a pitch to square up?
Well, he's also as unique like Yogi
he's
Berra.
He's a Hall of Famer. And then to the coolest point before, like, you, BT, it's okay to be Ted Williams and it's okay to be Joe DiMaggio. It's okay to be Juan Soto and it's okay to be Vladimir Guerrero. And it's okay for me to prefer one over the other. I want a guy who's going to throw his bat down and walk to first base because he wanted to hit a 3-run homer, as opposed to a guy who's going to dance his way over there because he's happy to pass the baton to Judge.
And that
that's
means,
just me.
Yeah, and that means nothing to me because the dance, the flipping of the bat, whatever, play baseball.
Right. Well, I mean, I'm just saying that in the moment, I'd rather have a guy who wants to be the guy as opposed to pass the baton to the guy.
So I'm going to ask you again. Do you really think he didn't want to get a pitch to rip?
I think that he was too passive in that at bat.
No, okay. Well, then we see it differently. And passive is an interesting word. I would say dialed in.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.
To his process.
We're down to 50 seconds left in the fourth quarter. Starts. Yes!
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
What a move by Starts.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata back on The Fan. You know, BT, I talked about it earlier, and I gave it a lot of thought over the weekend. You know, the Yanks definitely have some dogs. They continue to roll, taking another 2 out of 3 in Cleveland. They'll take on the Blue Jays tonight. But we were trying to come up with a song that would be fitting for this New York Yankees team and the outfielders specifically because they have a bunch of dogs. And it hit me over the weekend. I think I found it. Do you want to hear it?
Yeah, sure. I'm sure this isn't some sort of song that's going to make us sound like idiots. Go ahead. Let's hear what you came up with.
All right, here's what it is, and I really think that they should go with it because Verdugo, you know, comes up with the dogs thing and Soto. Here, yeah, right, exactly. The bark dogs. And all that. Well, here's the song I think the New York Yankees, the 2024 New York Yankees should adopt.
Let the dogs out!
Now, this is it, BT. This is the winner. It may have been brought up last week at some point, but this is definitely a New York Yankees song. It really hit me this morning when I was driving in listening to Boomer and Gio, or, you know, Jerry and Gio. This is the song. This fits the New York Yankees, does it not, BT?
I mean, Sal, I expect more out of you, buddy. I expect more out of you than this.
Yo,
first of all,
when people were, you know, when you know the Yankees come up with this cute thing, the dogs and all that stuff, you know, the puppy dog pals they want to do in the outfield. Remember, the Mets did this and they lost with it 25 years ago.
Well, maybe the Yankees can right or wrong and they could actually win with it. Like
all right,
you guys
there you go. So you
can
have that song. I think the Yankees should take it on.
We'll pass. We'll stick with the Go New York, Go. You could stick with the
well,
Let's
Knicks
Go
song.
Mets. I know. We don't need a song. Why do we need a song?
Why do you need a dog bark?
I didn't come up with it.
Me neither. I'm just trying to help out. I mean, why not? You don't like to let the dogs out?
I can't stand that song, dude. That's up there with the, you know, Don't Worry, Be Happy, the Macarena. Oh, I can't stand that
garbage. It is so awful. Matter of fact, so I don't know if you heard, because I know you didn't drive into that, but Gio was playing in the morning. He was talking about his Met fandom.
Okay.
And they were going over some of the songs. Like, they were redoing he was talking about the 86 Year to Remember video.
Great video.
Yeah, oh my God, so great. Good. Like, it's so good, and he was nailing it. And then he started talking about his Met fandom, and he goes, oh, even, you know, in 2000 when they played the Who Let the Dogs Out, I was like, that's where he lost me, because even then, I hated that stupid song, but it did hit me in the car. I was like, you know what? This is what the Yankees should use, a bunch of dogs in that outfield.
Yeah, I mean, but think about, it sounds awful now in hindsight. Think about some of the trends, some of the clothes we wore, some of the haircuts we
had. I know, but still.
But in real time, I'll give you credit for not liking it.
Yeah, I just didn't. Like the Mojo Rising that they used the year before, I was fine with
that. That's a good one. But that's a great song.
You know what other song I never liked? Mm. Is the Cotton Eye Joe. I thought it was so stupid.
Yeah,
that the
I like
Yankees
that
did
one.
That.
I like it.
Oh, man.
I do. I like it. I like the YMCA.
Oh, God. Come on. Talk about two of the lamest songs
I
ever.
Like them. Hey, listen, sometimes corny is good. Sometimes corny, where I got no problem with the Cotton Eye. I like the, and I know I'm in a small minority on that. I like it. I don't
Cotton
know. It's,
you, I mean,
it's
that's Yankee like Cotton Eye Joe and YMCA.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, listen, Village People's iconic, and Cotton Eye Joe, it just gets the crowd going.
You might as well just adapt, take over the Who Let the Dogs Out. Fit right in there with Cotton Eye Joe and you know, YMCA.
Hey, just remember, every dog has his day.
Are you coming in tomorrow?
I'm coming in.
I'll
see you
tomorrow.
I gotta go and find the rental car. Yeah, I'm.
Good luck.
Thanks, buddy. I'll be there tomorrow.
Seriously, good luck. Hope the back is okay and all that stuff.
Thanks, man.
All right. Thanks to everybody who listened. Thanks to everybody who called. We appreciate each and every one of you. Sorry for those of you who were holding there. We didn't get a chance to get to you. Get back to us at some point throughout the course of the week. Thanks to Dole. Thanks to Hoff. Evan and Tiki coming up next. We'll see you tomorrow at 10 a.m.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
For a
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.